grateful for your presence among us, both in person and those of you who are joining us online. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, today is Super Bowl Sunday. I know many of you are excited to watch either the game or the commercials or have the food, but it's also S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday, where we are collecting non-perishable food items for the blessing box. Thank you to all of you who brought this. This is going to bless so many hungry people in our community. Tomorrow evening at 7, we have our February Council meeting. This Wednesday is Senior Citizens Group at Mount Tabor. Also that evening, we have our Worship and Music Committee. And I want to announce that two Sundays from today, February 27th, we will have our semi-annual congregational meeting after worship to approve the annual audits. And there'll be a brief Lenten fair where I will outline for you all of the different opportunities we're gonna have at Holly Grove during Lent and hand out the Lenten devotionals. Because two Sundays from today is Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday before Lent begins, so we are almost there. There are still some 2021 contribution statements in people's mailboxes. I will try to remind you after worship to check your mailboxes, because I know not all of you go this way, but please make sure that you check your mail. There are a few prayer requests that have very unintentionally been omitted. The last few weeks as I've been putting the bulletin together, there have been times where I have accidentally left something out, and I just want you to know that that has been an accident. It has been unintentional, and I want to thank you for your grace in that. So a couple of those are Gyla submitted some prayer requests to me. The family of Denine Sellers, Gyla's cousin died a few weeks ago, so please keep her family in your prayers. And the family of Robert Furr, who many of you might know. So those will be in the bulletin next Sunday. Thank you for your grace. So please continue to pray for them. This week, Jim Horn's mother, Peggy, died. Please hold that family in your prayers. Tomorrow, Chip has to be to the hospital bright and early at 6 a.m. He's having a heart cath tomorrow, so please hold Chip in your prayers. Last night, Bob Troutman was rushed back to the hospital. He is continuing to have some difficulties with his heart. He is already back home and they're monitoring him, but please pray for Bob and Kim. I think that's all that I kind of wanted to update you about. Is there anything that I don't know about or that I am forgetting? Okay. I have a card here from Neil that says, "Thank you so much for the love and prayers sent my way during my knee replacement. It is good to know that you are never alone in your struggles. I knew my church family was with me when I hurt and when I was making progress to get back up on my feet. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Neil." Are there any other announcements? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for his well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ, you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither.
Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked.
They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of the Lord according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Calvin. How are you today? You're epic? Tired but epic. That's okay, you're both, right? Sometimes it's both. Hi, Cameron. How are you today? You doing okay? Yeah? Do any of you ever get anything in the mail? Sometimes? What do you get in the mail? You get a magazine that some people from here write in? Oh, so you get a magazine, and then sometimes people from church write you letters. Oh, I love that. Do you ever get anything in the mail, Cameron? What do you get in the mail? Does Gigi send you cards? She does. Well, I love getting mail, and this is one of my favorite magazines to get. It's a Spark magazine. And I don't know if you can see, do these people look like the same people in your Bibles? Do these look like the people in your Bible, Cameron? They do. Well, they are the same people. And this issue of this magazine is called Food in God's Word. And so there was one article in here I thought we could look at. It's called The Early Believers. We can share what we have. The early believers knew the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. They were excited to share Jesus' love with everyone. They also wanted to share the things that they had. So they shared their money, food, and clothes. And this is the part that I love the most. Everyone shared what they had with each other, and no one was hungry or poor. One of the things that the Bible does is it shares with us over and over what God's dream is for the world. And one of God's dreams that we talk about a lot in Bible study is that no one would have too much and no one would have too little, that everybody would have enough. Yes, because also God's dream is that nobody would be hungry and nobody would be poor. And so today is Super Bowl Sunday, where we're going to watch, some people are going to watch a game, some people are going to watch commercials. But it's also Super Bowl Sunday at church, where we ask people to bring some food to put in our blessing box, because there are a lot of really hungry people in our very own community. Each week, Miss Tony packs 60 bags of food to take to the elementary school just up the road so that 60 children can have food to eat on the weekends, because otherwise they may not have food to eat. So even at our local school, there are lots of children who are hungry. It is something. Absolutely. So it sounds like a very similar program where they pack food to send home with kids so that kids don't go hungry and have to sleep on empty stomachs, that they can have food. Even if it's instant noodles, it's still something to help them to not be hungry. And so one of the ways that we help people to not be hungry is we have a blessing box outside. Have you ever noticed the blessing box? Have you noticed the blessing box, Cameron? Yeah. We put food in there so that if people are hungry and they don't have the ability to go to the grocery store, they can just come by here and get some food and take it home and feed their families. And so that's what all this food is for, to help people so that they're not hungry and that they can feed their families. Because food can be really expensive and not everybody can afford it. Absolutely. So what Calvin is saying is that there are some companies like Food Lion who make food under their label so that it's a little bit cheaper, so that if people want some less expensive options, they can consider those and get those options. Instead of the deluxe Kraft mac and cheese, yes. Yes. So this is just one way of many that we are trying to help God's dream for the world come true, that people wouldn't be hungry and that they wouldn't be poor, that no one would have too much and no one would have too little, but everybody would have just enough. So thank you to everybody who brought food this morning. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you that we get to come to church. And thank you that we get to help people. Your dream for the world is that nobody would be hungry. Help us to feed others and help your dream come true. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats or to the playroom. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I read something this week on social media that has lingered with me all week. I don't know if you ever read something and it just sticks with you and you think about it and think about it and think about it. Well, this post said, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you are doing it wrong. Just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you are doing it wrong. And as I have thought about this week, I realized, confession time here, that life has been so hard lately for me, for so many of us, and I have been striving and working so hard to make it less hard. And I read that and I thought, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And I wondered if that would be a good word for any of you. Because life is hard for a lot of us right now. Life is hard here at Holly Grove. In the last year alone, we have had 10 funerals. In fact, this week I'm doing one more funeral. So in 1 year's span, I will have done 11 funerals. That's a lot of death and loss. And as I've talked to some of you in the past few weeks and we've been talking about these numbers, most of you know more than 10 or 11 people who have died in the past year. I think someone told me they knew over 30 people in the last year who had died. Not all COVID-related. Sometimes we just get older and our bodies fail us, and sometimes bad things happen even when we're younger. But there's been a lot of loss and sorrow and sadness as a church community, as a community here in Lexington. Not to mention, if we went around to every single person and talked about all of the ways for each of us that life is hard or challenging for us or for someone in our family. Maybe it's physical struggles, struggles with our health, struggles with our body, some mental health challenges, folks struggling with work or school. School can be really hard no matter what age you are, but when you're inching up toward middle school, it can be really, really hard. And so that word, just because it's hard, doesn't mean you are doing something wrong. It's just that life can be hard sometimes. Well, today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. A couple of Sundays ago, we read his call story, and we return to his words today. Jeremiah was no stranger to difficulty. He himself had a very hard life and lived during a really, really difficult time period in the life of Israel. When he began his career as a prophet, he stood in the shadow of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and at the end of his career, he was in exile, away from his home, away from everything he ever knew. He lost his home and the life that he knew, just as did all the Israelites when the Babylonians conquered and destroyed their holy city. Jeremiah and many of the Israelites were forced to flee and let go of everything they had ever known. Jeremiah knew this was coming. He knew it would happen. He preached and warned against it. But still, it happened. And by the time we read his words in chapter 17, he's preaching a new message. He's telling the Israelites that exile is the new normal, and he exhorts them on how to live in their new normal. In part, the Israelites didn't want to be in exile. Certainly they didn't, but they certainly did not want to accept that exile was their new normal. They rallied against it, they resisted it, they fought it, much like we see in the world around us and maybe within us as we resist and fight against the fact that we are living in a new normal 2 years into the pandemic, that we will not ever be able to go back to the way things were, no matter how much we might want to, that things are different now. We can't go back to a pre-pandemic world, just like the Israelites could not go back to a pre-exile world. Jeremiah wanted the Israelites to accept their new reality, and more than that, to live faithfully in it. I think we can all attest to the fact that it's not necessarily easy to remain faithful in times of big changes or transitions. But still, Jeremiah wrote to the Israelites and spoke to them, asking them, how would they respond? Would they live as though they were living in a desert? Or would they respond by being a people who were planted in this strange world, like trees who are planted next to a river? One is a path of trust and dependence on God, and one isn't. People in biblical times did not have the access to clean and safe water that we do. We can go to one of the many sinks in our homes and turn the water on, and it just appears. We can flush our commodes, and it just happens. We can push buttons on our washing machine, and the tub fills up. But in biblical times, to people who were desperate for water, the tree was symbolic of life that could withstand both drought and storm. When we think of trees, and if I were to ask you to draw a tree, we might draw a trunk, maybe some branches and leaves sprinkled out. Or if I were to draw it, I'm not that artistic, I'd draw a trunk and then the top like this. But we often forget the most important part of the trees, the roots. We don't see the roots, and so they're easily to forget about them, but the roots are the most significant part of the tree. Isn't that interesting? The part of the tree we don't even see, the part of the tree that is at work when we have no idea that it's at work, is the most significant part of the tree. In the darkness, this important work is happening underground. The roots reach deep into the earth to find moisture, to find sustenance, to find nourishment. And it's what happens in the dark, that unseen work, that produces fruit in the light. It's that work in the dark that produces the ability for the tree to provide shade on a hot summer day, for wood to be cut into pieces that can build a home, to create branches that bird nests can sit upon, providing homes for birds, to provide fruit that nourishes our bodies. All of this only possible because of what happens in the dark. So thinking about roots, what kind of people are we? And what kind of people do we want to be? Because maybe where we are today isn't where we have to stay. Are we like a shrub living in the wilderness, parched, finding no relief? Are we unable to withstand drought or storm because we don't have a solid and strong and deep root system? Or are we like a tree, planted by the water, sending our roots out into that stream? I want to point out that both endure hard times. Just because you might be a tree planted by the river with a root system going out doesn't mean that we are immune to struggles and challenges. But the difference is that because the tree by the stream is so rooted and has so much access to that stream, that it doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves stay green despite that. And even in times of drought, it is still able to produce fruit. Both types of growth are in direct relation to our relationship with God, to the depth of relationship and the closeness of relationship that we share with God, or that we don't, dictates what kind of root system we will have. Spend a little bit of time today or this week thinking about this. Honestly ask yourselves and reflect on what kind of relationship you have with God. Honestly ask yourself, what kind of root system do you have? And where are you planted? If your roots are deep and are being nourished by God's grace and love and mercy, keep leaning into God. Keep investing in your relationship with God. Keep growing your roots. If you are in a season of drought, and I know that many of you are, just rest. You don't need to strive to find water. Let your deep roots rest in God, and let God nourish you and refresh and renew you. If you are more like the shrub, if you feel uprooted, if you feel like your root system can't withstand the parched places of life, first of all, don't feel shame. Sometimes when we realize that our root systems aren't what we hope or wish they would be, we can feel shame, and that is not helpful. So first of all, if that's where you are, don't feel shame. Instead, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And then come to the font and remember that God adopted you as God's children. And then come to the table and be fed and nourished with forgiveness and love. Then intentionally focus on your relationship with God. Spend time with God in prayer. Spend time with God in God's word. Continue to come to worship. Continue to be God's hands and feet in the world. Spend time growing your root system into God's love and care. It probably goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Many of us go through life thinking that we are strong and invincible, that we can handle anything and everything that life might throw at us. Or we might think that life won't ever throw anything at us, that kind of stuff only happens to other people. And as such, we don't spend much time rooting ourselves in God. And then when the storms of life come, we suddenly want that deep root system. But it doesn't quite work that way, does it? Roots don't grow strong and deep overnight. Growing roots and root systems, it takes time and it takes intentionality. You don't start building your root system when the drought comes. You start building it now so that when it comes, and it will, that your roots are already firmly and securely planted by the water, and you can draw up what you need to withstand the drought and storm. Beloved children of God, which is each and every one of you, in the waters of baptism, God adopted you as God's beloved sons and daughters. Even before you understood how root systems work, even before you understood that life can be hard, before all of that, God chose you and claimed you as God's own, loving you so deeply that God sent his only Son to be living water for us so that we would never thirst again. Jesus comes to us not because of anything we do or don't do or because we deserve it or any of that. God loves us no matter what. And God's love frees us to grow roots. God's love frees us to love God with our hearts and our minds and our strength. Today and every day, God invites us to be deeply rooted in God. God invites us and longs for us to receive nourishment, renewal, refreshment from the never, ever ending well of God's mercy, love, and grace. Come to the well, taste the living water that is for us. Amen.
Thank you.
living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Blessed are those whose trust is in you. Strengthen the faith of those who profess your name, and bring reassurance to those who doubt or fear. Through your church, speak continued blessing into the world. God of grace, those who trust in you are like trees planted by streams of water. Bless fruit trees with an abundant harvest. Protect rainforests from destruction. Restore land that has eroded after deforestation. Resurrect woodlands after forest fires. God of peace, grace. Search the hearts of those who govern, that they lead with humility and justice. Inspire leaders to collaborate on policies that protect people and the planet. Sustain truth tellers and social movements that challenge society to become more honest and just. God of grace, send your blessings of mercy upon those who long for comfort and hope. Tend to those struggling with poverty, unemployment, or uncertainty. Provide for all who are hungry. Console those who face persecution. Grant peace to all who suffer, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, Mike, Carolina, Neil, Latifa, Bob, and the family of Joanne Turner, Sandra, Chip, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, renew this congregation in our shared mission as we plan and dream for the future you are preparing. Inspire us by the examples of Martin Luther and all the reformers. Bless new projects and new ministry partnerships. God of grace, Christ is raised from the dead, and so we cling to the hope of the resurrection. We praise you for the lives of the saints who lived and died in the hope of eternal life, and with you, especially Robin Beck, Joanne Turner, and Peggy Horn. God of grace.
Since we have such a great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to God's table. There is a place for you, and enough for all.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your love. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all. Strengthen with the richness of your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before the blessing, I forgot to pray for this prayer shawl for Jim Horn at the death of his mother this week. I think many of you know that no matter how old you are, when you lose your mom, it is so deeply painful because you've lost such a big part of your life and world. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks that when we come to you in prayer, you hear us and you offer us your presence and your love. We pray for our brother Jim at the loss of his mother. We also pray
peace, serve the Lord.